From socialservice.sg, I am Jing Yang. Before exploring the details of community work and community development, we ought to understand what makes a community. More fundamentally, what is a community? Or the community? With Biling and Fazli, we learn about how they describe the community, the asset-based community development approach, and an overview of AMKFSC's community-driven initiatives. This episode is part of the community mini-series co-produced with AMKFSC Community Services. So, first, Biling, you know, you are a familiar name to many of us in the social sector, social service sector. But if you don't mind, tell us briefly about yourself and the work you do at AMKFSC Community Services.
Hi, everyone. My name is Biling. I'm currently the director overseeing community development at AMKFSC Community Services. But as a concerned citizen, what I care deeply about is actually poverty transformation. That is the breaking the cycle of poverty and building communities. Well, for me, this privilege that I have of being able to journey alongside low-income communities for so many years has brought me to believe in asset-based community development that focuses on strengths rather than the deficits of peoples and their communities. Because for me, when we place attention on what is wrong, it leads to an emphasis on the deficit, on what and what always follow after that is a reliance on experts, right, to solve people's problems. However, when people in a community focus on what is strong, something that the residents are good at, and they come together to participate in resolving their own problems, people then take control, and then collectively, they can improve their own lives and also the lives of others in the neighborhood. So for me, I see these two passions weaving congruently together, and they're very much anchored by our social work values of social justice.
Thank you, Biling, for sharing about yourself and also the work that you do both within AMKFSC and outside. So today we also have with us Fazli. Fazli is a community activator at one of AMKFSC's community hubs. But before I share too much info, maybe I'll pass the time over to Fazli to share more about himself and also the work that he does.
Yeah, I'm Fazli, a community activator and currently supporting AMKFSC's 643 Community Hub as a locum. I've been helping here for just over a year. I first started as a volunteer at one of AMKFSC community hubs called 414. It's a community hub, and was later part of a resident group that helped to set up a 643 community hub. This community hub that I'm in now. So one of the community workers offered me to become a locum. Then I've been here ever since the hub opened. So 643 community hub is located downstairs a HDB block. So my main duties here is to welcome and engage the walk-in visitors and residents. So I also go on a community walk around the neighborhood to talk to residents and build relationship with them and get to know their interests and strengths also. And this is helpful for another key part of my work, which is encouraging the residents to contribute their strength and initiative in the community.
And, you know, I imagine, and you know, in Singapore, Fazli, we talk about and live in different neighborhoods, estates, and residential areas, right? And so you said you are part of the 643 community hub. I imagine 643 refers to the block number, right?
Yeah.
So that's the block number. So maybe before we even talk about, you know, community work, community development, how should we or how do you understand the community, right? How do you, or what do we mean when we say, or what do you mean when you say the community in that sense?
Community is a big word for me. So people often think community refers to like a group of people who live together only, right? But I think it's more than that. I think I would see community as a group of individuals who are not just physically together, but also share similar interests and passions of what they like to do. So there can be many communities with a larger community, within the larger community. At times, this subs community can even thrive more than the larger community.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like there's people who like to do bird watching, exercise, and gardening and more in Ang Mo Kio alone. So think of it as a kampung where everyone know each other. When all these similar communities came together and support each other, the larger community can thrive better.
So based on that understanding which you shared firstly, we want to kind of further understand community development, right? And the features of good community work. So to share more about that, maybe Biling, would you like to share more about why AMKFSC chose to focus on the community?
Okay, so first a quick word about AMKFSC. So AMKFSC has been in the community serving since 1978, providing a strong range of quality professional services for the past 45 years. But we are also fully aware of the need to evolve with the changing landscape. So today is almost a broken record, right, to harp on the fact that Singapore's population is rapidly aging and that the number of seniors living alone is expected to more than double by 2030. Now, also, with the shifts in family structure and the reduction in family size, we are actually very aware of the fact that the family, as the first line of support, and the reliance on professional-led services alone are no longer adequate for sustainable care. So we need a revival of that kampong spirit that Fazli talked about. We need the revival of strong social networks of neighbors and friends to help and support each other. So to me, it's no longer a good to have. It is a must have. Hence, the need for earnest effort on our part to build thriving and connected communities.
So Biling, you shared a little bit about what Fazli talked earlier, right, about the community. And we're interested to know how you would define a community as well.
What a community is actually best defined by members of that community or residents who feel a sense of belonging to that community, not by professionals like myself. So I love Fazli's definition of a community. I couldn't have explained any better because Fazli lives and breathes his community. That is the essence of community development, where as a professional, I need to catch myself to make sure that we as professionals do not take over what residents can do well themselves. It is an interesting and yet somewhat paradoxical role as professionals where we have to learn the art of stepping back when the community is best at leading themselves, only stepping up when the community needs us to do with or for them. So for AMKFSC, our unique selling point is our commitment and intentionality all these years to focus our work in the neighborhoods of the central and northeast region of Singapore. So hence, it makes a lot of sense for us to define our community as place-based in our neighborhoods of Ang Mo Kio, of Sengkang, and Punggol.
And I really like what you said, Biling, because you said Fazli lives and breathes the community, right? And so I want to come to Fazli, right? Because an acronym or kind of abbreviation we hear very commonly is ABCD, which is, for the listeners, an asset-based community development approach, right? I want to kind of explore its central tenets and in doing so, kind of specify how ABCD approach applies to Singapore and, you know, how it differs or complements what we currently do in social services, right? So, firstly, love to hear from you in terms of how you understand ABCD and how it applies to the community, in your community in Ang Mo Kio.
The goal of ABCD is for residents rather than the professionals to take the lead in improving the community well-being. Simply put, asset can refer to anything as common as like individual strength in cooking, baking, interest in taking care of stray cats, and then to ensure the neighborhood is clean. You can also refer to other organizations and communities such as like the youth center, recreational centers, and local businesses in the neighborhood. So what we do is go on community walk to get to know the residents on ground, right, and to build rapport and a relationship with them, and get to know their strength. When then we then embark on a process called asset mapping, where we connect resident strength to find opportunities for them to contribute together.
And so what I'm interested in is, you know, you do all these community walks to get to know the residents. Give the listeners some examples as to how you applied the approach on your walks and what you found and seen on the ground in that sense.
For example, I met a resident named Cammy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He actually old friend of mine.
Yeah.
Then he have a lot of strengths. He likes to do art. He can do hairdressing. He mm-hmm. can dance. He can do a lot of things. Then after knowing about 643 Community Hub, right, he volunteered to teach his art and conduct hairdressing workshops for the residents nearby, for the AMK residents. So the key idea behind ABCD is not about shifting the work we do from doing it for residents to with residents. Yeah, eventually having initiated by done by the resident themselves. But the best way for me to describe ABCD is through my personal experience. Like when I first get to know EMKFSC, it was they were recruiting, what they call it?
Resident volunteers?
The comm riders.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, to deliver festive goodies to isolated residents during the COVID-19 pandemic, right? So I was a food delivery rider back then. So I volunteered to be one of the community riders. They call comm rider.
Got you. Uh-huh.
At this point, the initiative was planned by EMKFSC themselves. I just do what I told. So they plan and I follow through. So soon I was introduced to 414 Community Hub and start plan more initiative together with the residents and the community workers there. Yeah. Such as designing the community t-shirt, then iftar event. Then the more I did, the more I think I enjoy contributing back to the community. So me and a few of other residents, we group up and we started to plan our own community initiative, led entirely by the residents. So it's from the WIF, right? Then I slowly, from the four, which is... doing the comm rider, right? Then slowly go to the weave. Then now when I gain more confidence as a resident, right? Then I start to do more. Then we do our own group and lead the project by ourselves, by the residents. One of the more memorable initiatives was the back to school fundraiser that we led for the purchase of school essential for the less privileged primary school students in our community.
That's what strikes me, because you've shared so many examples, right? You shared about comm riders during the COVID-19 pandemic, the iftar event, t-shirt. You know, one thing I want to repeat, which is what you said, and this is from you, not from me. You said it's about moving from doing it for residents to doing it with residents, and then eventually having it done by residents, which I think really very neatly encapsulates the work that you have been doing at 643 and then at 414 Community Hub as well. Yeah, which is a really neat example. Jermaine, over to you.
So now that we've heard like quite interesting stories from Fazli and also from Biling, we want to end this episode by focusing on some of the community-driven initiatives that AMKFSC embarks on. And I think for this, we would like to hear from both Biling as well as Fazli. Perhaps, Biling, you'd like to kickstart this process by sharing about some of the motivations behind these initiatives and how exactly they enable or aim to enable members of the community to lead more purposeful lives.
So let's start with the end in mind. Imagine, you know, the aspirational state. So for me, let's all imagine a neighborhood, right? Where neighbors naturally look out for each other, especially the vulnerable ones among us. And this is only possible because strangers have become friends and neighbors have become almost like families. So for me, therein lies the central tenet of community building, which is trust building, where the focus is on the relationships rather than the transactions. Yeah. I always remind myself, therefore, when we look at initiatives, not to focus on the activities per se, but to see it as a platform, a vehicle, or a means where people form strong connections over time. This is what professionals often like to refer to as the bonding social capital or the bridging social capital. Therefore, our curiosity then is always on what are the new connections formed? What is the strength of these connections over time? And more importantly, who is connecting with who? Is there bridging social capital where one ethnic group is becoming friends with another ethnic group, where one social class is now connecting and have friends from another social class? So who is connecting with who? So the question may one someone may ask, maybe, then how you decide what initiative to start? Maybe a more important question to start with is, who determine what initiative to start? This is when the asset mapping that Fazli talked about with residents come in important. Now, at asset mapping, residents share what they care about enough to do something together. And these can give you the leads. So if three or four people share about the same concern about a particular playground that is unsafe, then is there an opportunity to bring these residents together to do something about the same issue that they care about? So, for example, after circuit breaker, some residents were quite concerned. So we hear that the seniors were isolated. And despite an invitation to go out together, some of these residents still prefer to be isolated at home because of this fear, right, of contracting COVID-19. Most of these are seniors. But what is the consequence? It's taken a toll on their mental health. So some residents suggested that, why don't we come together, leveraging on their natural strength as cooks, yeah? Because food also unites, right? So some of these residents and the community locums decided to come together and initiated what is today called the Food We Share. Then it was just an idea to come together, cook for residents, so that residents can partake in meals together and then share with the residents at the void deck in COVID-safe ways. So the Thriving Community campaign that you will hear about, that AMK is currently doing, it aims to support such community initiatives where the residents and our beneficiaries, yeah, they transform from being just passive recipients of your services. They become active contributors, right? In that sense, then leading very purposive lives that not only impact their own lives, but also the lives of their neighbors.
So Bileng gave a little hint about the Thriving Community campaign. So if you'd like to find out more about that, we'll encourage you guys to stay till the end of this episode, where we share a little snippet of how you can also contribute and support these community initiatives. But before that, Fazi, we'd like to ask you about some of the initiatives that Bileng just shared, right? I'm sure you're very familiar with them and also maybe have been involved in them quite often as well. And we would like to find out, right, how do these initiatives compare to certain other initiatives that other SSAs or ground-up organizations typically roll out for their clients or beneficiaries?
Think of it as simulating the kampung spirit we once knew, one that goes beyond a hi-bye. Right? Nowadays, people tend to do things on their own. When they need help, they often turn to professionals to do, because they do not have relationship with their community. So, but through the community-driven initiative, right, we hope to bring these people out to the community by giving them the confidence or platform to lead something they are passionate about. As the name suggests, community-driven initiative are initiated and led by the residents themselves based on their interests and their strength, or also known as what we call their assets, lah. When residents lead or plan initiative, it become more meaningful and they gain more friendship and connection which they can tap on whenever they need help in the future. For example, if a residents need to mount their TV, right, they don't have to turn to their social workers and ask their social workers help to mount the TV, right? If they have the relationship with their neighbors, they can just maybe ask their neighbors for help, lah, instead of their social workers. This is the difference from other community-based events or initiative where residents often see as visitor that come, collect, then go, you know? Yeah, rather than contributors that have the potential to lead initiative that are for residents and by residents. But this doesn't mean that we are hand off completely. We still believe in the importance of co-creating opportunities by opening conversation with residents to spark their interest, to rally residents to lead project together.
And Biling, how about yourself? I'm sure you like to jump in here.
Very well said, Fazli. Very well said. In essence, community development strives, right, and to shift from professional-led programs, which is a lot in the community today, but and shift them to one where it's community-led, right, and led with and by residents. So one is professionals for the community to one that is community-led with and by residents. And more importantly, our beneficiaries and the residents become contributors and change makers of their neighborhood. So for me, I find the following curious questions very helpful. Though I must confess, they are not always easy, especially for people belonging to institutions like the professionals. Yeah. So, but I think nonetheless, it's very important for social work that we also think about community work guided by these questions. So first important question is, who decides what will be done? When will they be done? And who decides when? Right? Who are the producers of what results? Right? And then how do everyday residents or citizens discover and mobilize each other's strengths and motivations to do something to contribute to the thriving of their own communities? So I find these questions difficult, but nonetheless very important.
And I kind of think, Biling, it's worth repeating and emphasizing those questions you pose, right? They're not easy to answer, but first one, who decides what will be done? Second, who are the producers of what results? And third one, how do everyday residents, citizens discover and mobilize each other's strengths and motivations? I'll add one more, and this is coming from a research side, which is how do we, from institutions and research as academics, lessen our footprint and involvement in the process? Right, because that's really hard to do. And how do we resist the urge of trying to be involved in every part of the way and let things evolve organically? I think that's a lesson that we have to learn ourselves as well. And in fact, I would say today, Biling and Fazli, both of you have really helped us understand and give us a primer to community work, community development, and context of EMKFSC. In the next episode, we'll dive deeper to hear even more perspectives from the ground, especially in relation to social work practice.
In the meantime, don't forget to visit the link in the show notes to learn more about AMKFSC's Thriving Community campaign, and you too can play a part in building thriving communities.